Harshad Bhagwat is co-founder CEO of WordsMaya and is on a mission to help 100,000 people find their dream job. On the CTU Smartcast, we often talk about the jobs of future and the workplace of future. So we thought we'll pick Harshad's brains about how should people, especially young students, think about navigating their job search journeys. What do you need to do to improve your employability and how not to think about technology impacting your job? Harshad spoke about networking and how to think about building your social capital. So go on and listen to this insightful conversation with a career change designer.
This is the CTQ Smartcast, where we have conversations about up-leveling, deliberate practice, and getting future relevant.
Welcome, Harshad. Welcome to the CTQ Smartcast.
Thanks, Harish. Really looking forward to this, excited about this afternoon talking to you.
Yeah, so let's put the googly straight away, right? So what do you know about job searching that others don't?
You make me feel like, you know, I'm some sort of whistleblower, you know, I'm keeping something secret from others, you know, only I know something which others don't, and you're taking interview.
yeah, this is on record. Your testimony is on record, Harshad.
You're taking some journalist interview with me. Amazing. Yeah. It's interesting. Okay, Harish, actually, there is something which many people know. So it's not like something only I've invented or I know, but somehow people don't use it. Okay, people don't use it normally in their job search. See, if you ask 10 professionals around, the first thing or the only thing many of them will do is go to Naukri.com and many other job portals. I think that is the only thing they know many times, or they do when they think about job search. But I started the opposite side. I asked people, how did they get their best job? The job they really admire, or they stayed in, or they thought they contributed the most. And I found that most people told me that they got that job through their own network. Okay, and now you're, you know, nodding, because you know, probably you have also done similarly. And I've seen many times winners do similar stuff. They don't go for these typical portals. Mm-hmm. Many of the professionals got these jobs inbound. So kind of that company or the department head or maybe a team lead. Mm-hmm. Got that person in, actually, you know, because of, you know, maybe prior connection, working together before, college mate, whatever that choice is. So somehow I realized this is the big gap, I guess, you know, the people, and that has been my story also, that like, I've done only one job, but that I could get through networking only, you know, like when you sort of know what you're applying for, you have some leverage there, or you know what you want to get into and you search like that. Mm-hmm. And there are many problems with job portals which don't allow you to do this, actually.
Right. So, you know, one follow-up question to that, Harshad, is that when you ask people about what is their, you know, favorite job, or, you know, like they say, the dream job, right? What do people say? You know, how do they define it? Mm-hmm. Just for people to get a sense of, you know, what are the contours of this dream job that people should think about, which is, I'm sure, very different from how it is defined on campuses, where, you know, the highest paying job, or usually the jobs which are companies which are coming on day zero, day one, are considered, you know, dream jobs, right? But that is not what, a seasoned professional will say. So how should people define this idea, notion of dream job? First of all, is there a notion of dream job? If yes, how do you define it?
Yeah, it's always a debate, right? I think people who get that, they will be saying that, yes, there is a dream job.
Correct.
Okay, people who are yet to figure that out or yet to get into one will always say, no, there is no one. It's just a matter of, your choice. I think when your idea of your jobs or your career, of course, evolves, right? With age, with experience. And that is given, I guess. I mean, I'm sure with you also, you maybe never thought about you will be doing this today, right? So it evolves maybe after 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. So that is keeping aside. I think deep down, all of us search for that something. Okay, I mean, keeping spiritual side aside, even in our careers, I think we are searching for something. That perfect one, let's say dream probably is a word where we always assign it with dreamy. It might not be real. It's not like that. Or it might not be the highest paid or most sought after. It need not be always like that, right? It is what is perfect for that individual choice, let's say, or with the constraints, with the ambitions, with the passions, skills, choices, even location sometimes, or work-life balance. Money, of course, is in the top five. So I think all these choices or all these constraints we have, within that, if we can get the best one, I think employers will also agree that these people stay longer and also they are more productive, right? If they are really liking. And I think if we do something we really are fitting in, we tend to like that as well. I mean, keeping aside all the pros and cons maybe. So there is, I believe that there is a perfect job for everyone, but it might evolve with time. It's not like for whole career you will get into one. What I feel that people do not go enough inwards. I think we are constantly bombarded with external things. So many times our choices are what our friends are doing or what our family told us to do. That is the biggest problem in career choices, at least in early stage, right? We always follow someone or someone's advice. So I have seen many people saying after 3 years, they realize, oh, this is not what they wanted to do. Or I'm sure you know many engineers, after completing engineering, they thought, okay, they would want to start a YouTube channel, right? I mean, so TVF story. So I think our choices are driven by external phenomena. If somehow we know how to go inwards and think about what are our choices, which is not easy, which is definitely not easy, I think there is a better way of approaching our careers. Our choices, as I said, may change with time, but can it be a conscious choice? I think that is my point here.
Right.
And if we want that job, then there are different ways of getting it.
Right.
So just to complete, I ask my students, coaching students, is that you want a job or you want the job?
Hmm.
If you want a job, I'm not required. Hmm. Okay, you will get one anyway.
Right. So there are two aspects to this, Harshad. One is, like you said, looking inwards, that is understanding yourself, knowing, you know, yourself. The second part too is that you may not have got enough exposure to know whether, you know, you are cut out for this or, you know, whether what you want is actually what you would enjoy as well. So how should, you know, people bridge this gap? And I'm not talking about only students, you know, it is as relevant to, you know, mid-career folks as to senior career, you know, folks as well, right? I mean, people may want to take up CXO level positions because they feel that, you know, after 45, after 50, they should be there. But probably that is not something that they will enjoy. They're not playing to their strengths, right? So how should people, A, know and, you know, B, get the exposure? And if they don't have that exposure, then how do they deal with that situation?
Yes, Harish. I think all of us face this situation, right? Like we think about something, but when we get into that or we reach that place, we realize, oh, it's not what we thought about, right? So it is always a struggle. I think the single word for this is, can we simulate that in some way? See, for example, internship is a simulation for a student, a simulation of an industry experience for a student, right? Many times in larger companies, people do one more extra project outside their department many times. And, you know, companies allow that to happen. And then they change the department. Many times this happens. If that is also not possible for you, I think talking to people is one thing, which is networking, is one thing most people don't do. You know, they sort of think only, you know, they just get thinking inputs. I think talking to real people who are in that situation, who are in that role, who are in that sector, doing that kind of work or whatever your searching up for. I think that kind of gives a better mileage, and we call this as informational interviews, that more and more you talk to, and there is a structure to it actually. How can you get that information you want? So as you said, the exposure you will not have can be simulated in some way probably.
Mm-hmm. Right. And how did you zero down upon your goal / purpose for life? Where I think I read on LinkedIn that you've taken up the mission of helping about 100,000 professionals become career champions. So how did you zero down on this? What was your journey like in order to find that this is what I really want to do? This is your dream job, is it?
Yes, I do. I think the corporate job I did was really my dream job. Mm-hmm. And I left it when I realized, I have to search for the next one probably. Right. I could get whatever, mm-hmm. or I could deliver whatever I could, mm-hmm. in that. The stint at WordsMaya was similar, that yes, we are doing something for students and professionals on soft skills side. Mm-hmm. This particular, helping professionals with job search, I think all of us realize this or experience this, that the best opportunity always comes in disguise, right? You do not know, okay, this is what you are actually doing. Second wave, right? The April, May, I was facing a lot of trouble in my family health problems. And I was talking to my customers. Every day I would call someone, that person would say, no, it is not the right time. I'm at hospital, or my company has many patients. It is not the right time. So I realized around 15th April that I think, I have nothing to do. Literally for a month. Mm-hmm. Many of us had this, right? There was absolutely no business in the market. But kuch to karna hai, we have to do something, right? Sitting at home. I just posted on LinkedIn that this is a real crisis. Many people are donating money. Many people are, I know many people who did voluntary work outside. I couldn't do that because I had patients in my home, right? So I said, okay, I'll donate my time. So I just posted that if you are facing any career trouble, I might not be helpful in your personal troubles. I'm here, okay? And I put a Calendly link at the bottom. Said every day at 1 or 2 hours, anyone can book my slot and I will be there definitely. Mm-hmm. It so happened actually many people clicked that link. Mm-hmm. And I posted over 2 months, couple of times. I could get, again, networking. I could talk to many people one-on-one who were completely unknown to me. They might be following me for some time on LinkedIn, but I was not knowing anything about them. Most of them were facing job-related, existing job. They know it will go away. No salary rise, not getting good job. Or even business, they had to close down their business. So these were top 4. And they knew that next, 1 year, 2 years is going to be difficult for them. Mm. And I had put that, I will be a listening ear. You can, And I, of course, gave a lot of inputs. And many of them continued, asked for one more call. It was all, complimentary, pro bono stuff. Actually, 2 months later, I realized, by the messages back, many of them got good jobs, okay? Mm-hmm. And because of the inputs, I would say. Mm-hmm. So I said, there is something here which, it's obvious to me, but may not be so obvious to others. So that started, I guess, mm-hmm. the thing. But now in September, October, I said, okay, this is the thing, I guess. It's a big enough. And I think COVID has impacted many jobs or disrupted many industries, and people are kind of, searching around. They kind of got baffled, confused externally or maybe internally as well. Hmm. And they are searching for something, for their things. So can I help them with better tools, strategies? Hmm. That is the idea, actually.
Right. So, if we talk about the pandemic, like you mentioned, so do you think the pandemic has been an inflection point with respect to job searching, and how have things changed for people searching for a job before and after the pandemic?
Yes, definitely. See, for many people, they have understood that their roles might not be required anymore. Hmm. Okay, because companies have also evolved or revamped, or they got time to revamp their structure, their departments, or going forward, what are the customer requirements? You know, many scaled down and now scaling up, but they in a new way. So some industries are going to go out. Okay, yesterday I was talking to someone who is in lubrication industry, right? Actually, EVs do not need that much lubrication. So that entire company knows. So the company is also doing other things. But that individual is so much technically driven in that field that that person knows actually. Right? 5 years later, with these skills, he will be absolutely not required. Mm-hmm. Even I ran a poll on LinkedIn. Around 100 people responded. They knew that they... There is a poll, there is a survey results. In 5 years' time, 70% people know that they have to change their skills or career or department or role. You know? So that has been the biggest thing. But of course, it was happening before, but I think it rapidly happened, I guess, in the last 1.5 years. Just from pure hiring process perspective, this online hiring, virtual interviews, all this is making HR managers work more. So hiring process has sort of lengthened, actually. It's very lengthy these days. It's very difficult to judge a person online. So for a job seeker's perspective, that person has to do really good to articulate what the value is. That is the biggest, I guess, difference, I would say. It was much easier to do it probably earlier. Networking still holds thing about networking is 70% of jobs are filled by referrals, networking, immediate contacts, previous contacts, and they don't even come to job portals.
Right.
So that will remain the story. Power of personal branding will keep on increasing, I guess. LinkedIn, I have made so much business because of LinkedIn in last 2-3 years, actually. And I have connected with so many people on LinkedIn.
Right.
I mean, just a message or a comment on my post to a message to a phone call as well. That journey has been phenomenal on LinkedIn these days. So networking on LinkedIn, personal branding on LinkedIn will be the trend, I guess. Because recruiters are anyway using LinkedIn now more than others. And they're posting on LinkedIn and they're checking. Or even there are tools for companies to judge who is engaging with the post. So a lot of these social media tools, analytics come into picture. So, and I think we talked about the inbound jobs a bit, right? So if again, coming back to you, if you want the job, not just a job, I think you will have to be differentiated, and personal branding, network, getting referred really puts you into another bucket, I would say.
Right. And, you know, on that topic, is there merit in people thinking that, personal branding is required, but I might have missed the bus, so I can't do anything? Or wherever they are, they should just start today. If not, in the next 6 months, probably 2 years later, it is going to be valuable for them. What is your take on that?
I see, we don't want to be stars, right? I mean, movie stars or all that. We do not want million followers.
Right.
See, personal brand is always there. Probably the name has come in the social media world. See, you and I connected after some time now. But I had that impression about you. You had an impression about me anyway. And I was reading your newsletters. You might be already connected. Like Rishabh also was reading my LinkedIn post. So we always have that impression face to face by the content we write online, by behavior, our previous interactions, or simple body language in an office environment. You know many people you might not have talked to, but you sort of know by body language he's a leader or he's a junior. You know, you kind of have a lot of impression about people around. So anyway, person has a personal brand. When you say I have to build my personal brand, you mean that you want to be conscious about it. Now you want to consciously create an impression of one kind. I always say that it has to be a real impression. You should not and cannot fake that. but be conscious about putting that type of impression more, let's say, in a way. For example, let's say there is a side to it, Harish, that I don't know anything about. But now tomorrow you put that out. So I have one more impression about you. Of course, we are talking about professional brand here. There is one skill I don't know about and you put that out. So I add one more thing. The way you comment on others, anyway, it adds to your personal brand. But of course, the aesthetics part of it, let's say nowadays our photos, you know, even many of us have to invest in a good webcam. I know many leaders who have invested in a webcam and a ring light just to look better on video calls. Why? I mean, internal video calls. So why do we do that? Again, they want to look richer. So all of us have personal brands. So it's not about missing the bus. See, finally, you want one job, even if 1,000 followers in your industry, people who they know you are connecting with them constantly. These are not new people. The same people you have met in conferences, the same your past colleagues, your college friends, your school friends, your even neighbors sometimes, they might not know about what you do in professionally. On social media, you might be able to tell them what you do. Only those people also will give you enough mileage, actually. Very few people need thousands and thousands of followers based on, of course, their profession. If they're marketers, they're selling something B2C, they might need this. But for typical professionals, I think even if you keep other people up to date about you, I think that itself is a very big thing.
Right. Yeah, I think, Karthik Srinivasan was on this show earlier and he had this notion of thinking about this as a, means of telling people outside of your immediate circle about, what you do, what you stand for, the kind of things that you want to be known, for, right? So this is for those people. This provides this channel. It is like this, you keep doing this regularly, build this, whole online persona, something that, people at the metaverse are trying to think of now. it's almost similar, right?
Yes, of course, you want to reach outside your network, of course, right? But the question was like, am I being late? So correct. I think if you are not there at all today, I think the first phase itself will be just making sure all your connects know about you. That itself might fetch you the best job, actually. Or if you are in a niche industry, only those 500 people know about you. That's fine. But globally, those best people in that industry know about you. I think how about that, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than everybody knows about you.
Correct.
Yeah. They will not give you any mileage. Mm-hmm.
So this is about articulating who I am, what I want to stand for. But given the context of, industries changing, some things becoming irrelevant, I will also need to think of what next for myself, right?
Yes.
As an individual. So how is the role of reskilling, to be seen in this context? And how should people go about this, that, you talked about this person in the lubrication industry, right? Now, this person knows that five years down the line, I need to be something else. How should they start thinking about reskilling first? And B, how should they tell the world also that they are on this journey of reskilling? Two parts to that question.
Yes. I think these words upskilling and reskilling have come from employer's perspective, actually, that you have 10,000 people, how to bring them forward, right? From an individual's perspective, I believe that learning has to be continuous anyway. Okay. It's not only when you are getting outdated. I think all of us will get outdated in that if we remain the same person doing the same job anyway. I think all of us know that, right? We should not be doing this exact same work for 3 years, let's say. That timeline has reduced a lot since maybe our father's and grandfather's age. So when you know, I think just a simple technique, right? See, earlier we talked about competition, that I am competing with all my college friends. Let's say if I am in top B school, my main thing is, oh, I should be getting in the top 1% of my B-school friends. Later, I should be better than all my team members so that I get promoted. So we think about competition, right? Can you add one more element, which is robot now in that, right? AI, algorithm, robot, everything I'll put at one. Do you think you are competing and you are winning with a machine in your role, in your work? You know, that is a one simple thing. If industry is getting outdated or is changed, I think there is enough knowledge now out there to realize that, to know that, because it doesn't happen in one. I mean, pandemic is very rare. Right. It doesn't happen so often. Reskilling definitely is a requirement. I think I'll again come back to, that if that person, so there are two options, right? He goes deep, let's say, in that industry, in that technical skill, or he goes wide. So a person has two choices. If the industry is getting outdated totally, find the same technical skills required in another industry, if possible. Or what are your transferable skills, which can be used in another industry? If, let's say, for example, he's a project manager in one particular industry and that is getting outdated or saturated or whatever, can that person do project management equally well in another industry? Probably that is one choice. Or the technical skill that person believes that is best at, can it be used for another industry? In general, our lookout sometimes is very narrow. And I believe that you are constantly learning, I believe. It's not like reskilling always means you have to take a course. I think the LinkedIn feed, the YouTube feed of yourself is teaching you constantly. And another one is what people are telling you. So your network feed, actually. So you get those signals, I think, that it is a time and what could be a better choice, right? So I think these feeds will be enough for a person to get initial idea about when is the time and what could be 2-3 possible opportunities. And then that person has to draw a line, I guess. Then there will be a journey, of course. In that context, Harish, I believe that coaches are really required in the new world. I think that is not just in career. You will know that in this 1 or 2 years, I know so many people, let's say health coaches, right, in general, yoga teachers and mental counselors have been in real demand, actually. So anywhere, you need help in drawing that line and an external person telling you the better ways of doing things. I think all of us will need coaches or mentors, or even if we are good self-learners, I think sometimes we will need an external help. So many of entrepreneurs, I have had always good mentors. So similarly, any case, you need those people, actually.
Right. I think what I'm hearing, Harshad, is that usually people end up getting bogged down with their, day-to-day work, right? You need that radar to be able to, detect and catch those signals and then make some sense out of it. Either you do it yourself by taking that time out, paying attention to all the signals that are coming in. If not, you actually, get someone hire or have a, some kind of a relationship with someone who will actually do that, but it has to be done deliberately. Once you do that, then the next steps can happen. But if you don't do this part itself, you're not even getting started here, then it's just a quick matter of time before, you exactly. become irrelevant, right?
Exactly. Yes.
That's a good way to sum it up. So, next question on this. We spoke about this competing with robots, competing with technology, bots, algorithms, and all of that. There's another aspect to it. Now you also need to start getting comfortable working with robots, right? So, how should people think about that?
I think we already are, aren't we? The machines are getting more intelligent, right? I think we are constantly working with machines. They are getting more intelligent. It's going to be a very new challenge, I would say. Again, we talked about exposure, right? we have to learn by exposure, I would say. You know, probably just yesterday, I mean, this another context. I'm not good with, you know, pets actually, because I never had any exposure to them, you know, that kind of. So yesterday I had my niece coming and she's just 2 years old. She's so good with pets actually. So we went to our neighbor's place. She directly hugged that dog and dog also liked her and all that. Right? So I was amazed actually. And I realized later that actually dog reads body language, not the language we speak. Okay, so we tend to speak. So I tend to speak, you know, like to the dog. She knew how to approach that dog probably, you know, just 2 year old.
Right.
Her body language was perfect. So the exposure, I would say, I think the one line answer is pure exposure working with robots.
Right. Yeah. I think it's always, you know, like you said, whether it's, you know, with pets or something that you're scared of or with robots, right? The more you get used to it, I think the better it will be for you to, you know, turn that situation to your advantage, right? If not, you're always going to be threatened by, you know, by those programs or algorithms. Just to move slightly to the question of job search, you know, I was talking to a friend, you know, a conversation that just came to mind. This person, a guy, he was talking about ageism in everything, right? You know, 40 plus guy, he said, yeah, most of the jobs that I'm looking for, they say, no, 40 plus, you know, you're too old. And one interesting thing that he pointed out was there is no Indian company that has a program for men coming back to work, right? He says a lot of companies have programs for women coming back to work, but nothing for men. So these are some of these socio-cultural things that are there. How do you, you know, even deal with them, right? I mean, if you're talking about reskilling, I know that, okay, my job today in whatever I'm doing in lubrication is not going to be around 5 years down the line. This is where I need to go. But that industry where I have some space is not going to let me in because I'm already, whatever, 40, 45, or, you know, I've been working as some coach for the last 10 years. So how do you deal with situations like this?
I think generally we are told that follow the rules. I think in job search, we should not do that. That is the only game here. So as you said, the rules of the game, let's say, no, there should not be an employment gap. You should be this old or this young for that. Your past experience should be like this. You know, all these rules are set by someone. Okay, it's not like sacrosanct or, you know, it's not like, you know, like physical rules that we cannot break, you know, they're not rules of physics actually. So we have to understand why they have said them. Okay, we might not be able to change them. But see, let's go to the basics here. Suppose that person is in lubrication or this person is old. Is the one of the tags someone else has put? But okay, the way I put or the way I tell my students is, again, turning inward and what is the value you have to offer? That is the thing. Actually, you know, can we call job seekers? It's a very bad word, I would say. I'm going to change it. Okay. I'm still new to it. So I'm still following the rules of the game, the language rules at least. See, job seeker and job giver. So we are always putting this as a culture. I mean, it's a class struggle, I would say. Another. Can we break that, right? So those are the rules coming from this class struggle that I'm always begging, I'm always seeking. Can I call them as value givers, value providers? And yes, companies as value consumers, value beneficiaries. Can this be really a marketplace where, you know, it's a handshake between need and the supply and demand? Can can we think ourselves as a single person company? And we already are, because companies think like that actually about us, right? That, you know, every quarter, every year, you should be able to perform this much and that much, right? I mean, it's just the salary structure makes you believe that you are getting salary apart from it, even though you don't deliver on that day, you know, you still get that salary. So just the structure wise, you sometimes think that you're getting salary anyway, but otherwise, you know, top leaders are anyway choosing you and judging you constantly, right? Based on the output. So why can't we define that probably? Of course, it is very difficult. It is based on the needs of the company. So coming back to your question of that particular person, that person could identify that this is the value I have to offer based on my skills, experience, certifications, you know, previous knowledge, all those things, my personality, my contacts, even sometimes my background makes me different for this particular role. And then try to match it. Who would want this value? Again, can we call job search as opportunity search? Where could be the opportunity to contribute? You know, just sometimes making the language or, you know, like the way you think or put words makes you think differently. So I would say just don't think about these rules. If you know how to define this, probably job portals will not allow you because those keywords you might not have on your resume. Right. Or the HR will be so busy to not listen to your story because that HR has 300 resumes. There are other ways to get in actually.
Right.
You just need some patient listener who will, instead of having 6 seconds given to you by HR, the person will have maybe 3 to 5 minutes to listen to your story actually. And actually I make my students prepare elevator pitch. This is another thing only entrepreneurs know. Can we have elevator pitch of everyone actually? That whenever a person picks up a call, he puts that in the first 30 seconds, 1 minute. And then he gets maybe 4 more minutes to talk more. And then a half an hour interview later, right? Mm-hmm. So there are better ways of getting through these rules, I guess.
So this brings us back to networking, right? What we are essentially talking is that, you know, instead of going through the regular route, which will have these, you know, gates for whatever reasons, right? They just want to make their job easy because of which they have put these gates and in these criteria. And those gating criteria don't work for you. So you will have to figure out some other way to circumvent all of that. And, you know, one way to do that is networking. So if networking is like a skill that you think of in terms of employability, A, how do you get better at networking? And B, like networking, what are other skills that you should add to improve your employability?
Yeah. I guess, yes. Networking has become an essential skill. Generally, only salespeople who generally do face-to-face or front-end sales are generally good at it. Entrepreneurs learn that, I guess, on the go. Many people think like networking is only for extroverts. It's very difficult to network for introverts. Again, I believe these are all rules set by some people. Let's say you go to a party. You go to a friend's wedding. Don't you talk to other people? I think that is I guess, first step. If you don't, I think you should start with that setting, right? Where you probably know, you know, his cousin's friend, his cousin's cousin. Okay, he's like, you know, most of them people. But do you really talk to them? Maybe unknown or known. Do you know how to talk to people on the go, you know, or you just meet? I think that could be a good starting point. Next starting point could be, you know, talking to people in conferences. Just a difference, Harish. Okay. I knew, I was working as a scientist and then, you know, we get that opportunity to present in conferences or we go to these workshops of these industries and all that. I had my business card at that time given by my company and I used to use it, but not much, right? But now when I go to entrepreneurial events, many times I see more people outside the arena than inside that lecture hall. I know how many people do not miss breakfast and lunch and dinner because that is the time when you can meet others. I know many people who just come for breakfast, lunch and dinner. They are not even bothered about what is going inside that hall, conference hall. So this is the totally different mindset, I would say. So maybe an extreme mindset, but can we in the middle? So how many times a company sends you somewhere
and you come back with five more friends.
Mm-hmm.
How many times you connect on LinkedIn immediately and send that first message?
Mm-hmm.
Simple. You watch a YouTube video, or let's say someone watches this podcast, this smartcast.
Mm-hmm.
Can I expect a LinkedIn request from these people?
Right.
You know, saying that I watched this smartcast,
mm-hmm.
would like to connect with you.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Such a simple thing, right? It's not for introvert, extrovert, nothing. It's just, I mean, they might not have anything to do with me today, but maybe 5 years later, they will think about me. Probably, I don't know. Or I will think about them that, okay, someone from this company contacted me. It might happen, might not happen. Again, these are all, I would say, like a random bouncing of each other, which many times results into opportunities, I would say. So yes, networking is definitely an essential employability skill. I guess second skill, especially with job search, I will tell you, is selling skills. You know, sometimes many times sales has a very negative connotation. They believe, you know, you are selling means you are selling crap, you are lying, you are cheating. You know, that is a concept sometimes we believe. Sometimes we believe that why to talk about myself, you know, let others find that out.
Mm-hmm.
Why to talk about my work to my own boss, for example?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if you're really expecting promotion or salary rise, I think you should know how to present your own work, right?
Right.
I think that we all know, otherwise there is no chance you will get ever. Mm-hmm. Or you will get that 8% rise yearly set by company, but you will definitely not go in a non-linear way.
Mm-hmm.
So these basic selling skills, I would say,
mm-hmm.
just able to understand how to communicate. I think soft skills, people have been telling for many years now, soft skills. There is a nice quote in this LinkedIn learning report. In the age of robots, soft skills will reign supreme. Actually, it's the title of the whole chapter on soft skills. So we talked about robots earlier. I think we have to be more humans now. So top three soft skills in that report are communication, leadership, and creativity problem solving. I think these three things will continue to separate us from machines, I hope, for a long time. These skills are, I guess, essential employability skills, apart from, of course, technical skills, you know,
right,
you are really good at and you are delivering to the organization.
Mm-hmm. And how do you see the role of, you know, these spaces outside of the traditional education system? Like nowadays you have these alternate MBA schools, like the STOA school is there. And then there are these, you know, places like the Product Folks, which is like a volunteer driven effort for people to get better at, just becoming better product people, right? So this is where people are picking up skills which they did not in their traditional, whatever, engineering colleges or wherever they've come from. And also sometimes is missing from their jobs, but to get to the jobs that they want to, they need to, you know, cover, you know, bridge that skill gap in these places. So how do you see these, you know, these members of the ecosystem shaping up, and how should people look at these as resources?
I think the first is mindset issue. I think many of us will know this, but I believe most people think that after graduation, post-graduation, education is over.
Hmm.
Okay. But learning is not. I think we believe learning is, you know, we have to sit on a computer and, you know, really concentrate. Maybe we take notes. I think it's just one form of learning. We are learning constantly anyway. What does media do anyway, right? Media teaches something they want to teach, right? Anyway, right? They makes us believe into something, which is true or not true, whatever. Anyway, we are learning constantly by all senses, right? Actually, there have been enough studies that we don't forget anything. It is just that we don't retrieve.
Mm.
So constantly we are picking up. All of us have to keep looking for these things to take us to the next step, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So as you said, now traditional degrees have one role to play. Longer courses by Coursera or maybe colleges will have another role to play. I guess there are definitely some skills which need in-depth, you know, learning.
Mm-hmm.
See, let's say would you go to a doctor who shows you Coursera certificate for, you know, but not to the basic degree, you know, like really, I mean, you might not, right? Doctor means at least 7-8 years of, you know, learning by doing, learning by reading. You tend to believe in that then, right? So there will be some skills, some domains where you need to slog hard for a longer time. But for these lifelong learning things, what I call, that these are smaller things as compared to your degree, let's say. These are, let's say, 6 months, 1 year max learning journeys for you. I think these community-driven models will definitely evolve. Actually, in fact, I'm making one for these career things. I'm calling it as Career Champions Club. I'm defining certain attributes which I call career champions have. And a few of them we talked about, let's say, knowing oneself to, you know, really know what the job they want. There are many others I've defined. And I'll be building community of career champions who might not be champions today, but that's the plan, right? That's why they are in the community, to become one over time. And we all will go together along with that. And it might not be just a 3 months journey. Maybe the first step is 3 months, but it's a lifelong journey, actually.
Right. Yeah. Great. That's great to hear, Harshad, and all the best for that. So coming to the, you know, end of this conversation, any books, podcasts, people that you would recommend for people to just improve this ability to capture signals of how things are changing with respect to, you know, the workplace of the future and how to think about, you know, their job search. Any recommendations?
It's a difficult one. I mean, recently I had posted a quote that if you want to change your reality, change your online feed. Okay, so I think we just have to change our online feed, I guess.
Right.
Even I did that 3 months back, okay? I went through all the YouTube channels I was subscribing to. I literally unsubscribed all the channels. And I resubscribe to, you know, new ones, no problem. That way, sometimes we just need that. I guess I think all of us just need to change patterns many times. And you might be knowing social media keeps showing you the same thing again and again, right? So sometimes taking a totally different direction helps you. I think I will not be able to recommend one because I think the audience will be very wide, I guess, right? I would recommend types. Right, the which types I consume, right, to maybe stay in the game, definitely LinkedIn. Again, following the right people, maybe even searching for many people, right, deliberately, that who are, you know, CEOs of these companies, who are let's say influencers in that domain. So definitely following right people there. There are many new email newsletters. I find them hard to search for on Google, email newsletters, really. Many times I get recommended by someone, I guess. It's not easy. Recently, I was recommended by a friend to Morning Brew, I guess. That is one for industry news. But again, that is very US focused. So I might not be, you know, interested in that particular. So it really depends on that. I guess keep networking with people, I guess. Every 3 months, can you really... I heard Anand Deshpande saying in one of the events that he literally has, I mean, maybe before social media, probably because he's a veteran, he has cards with people names on it. And he literally picks 5 cards after maybe a few days or and he calls that person. I mean, that's the, you know, just keeps networking, I guess. Right. Old people, I guess, old connects. I think, what are they up to? What's their industry doing? Kya chal raha hai? You know, how is your company doing? Right. I guess we believe Google knows everything, but I really believe many things Google doesn't know is these things, right? Really that insider information, I would call, correct, which, you know, doesn't really come on Google ever, I guess. You know? So if we're talking about things to read in the future, I guess definitely in every industry, there are people who are really thinking about next 10 years and they're talking about it. So following to this online feed and connecting with real people I guess can be the strategies for you to at least maybe, you know, add one YouTube channel every day or follow one person every day, talk to one, connect every week. I think that could be a very good strategy because, you know, it networking is not something you can do or learning is not something you can do when you need it.
Correct. Right? Yeah.
You cannot say I want job in the next month and now I'll start and now I will help, I will reskill myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a continuous process. So, and probably it's, I guess it's a habit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. On that note, Harshad, we'll come to the end of this. But before you go, we want to ask you for your hot takes on certain things. So, I'll be asking you, I'll be giving you a term or word or something. And I want you to comment on the future relevance of that. Right. So, how do you think it's going to change? Will it be more relevant, less relevant? And what is going to result in that, right? So, first one is, what do you think is the future relevance of freelancing?
Big one, right? As I said, all of us should think about one-person company, even if we are not.
Hmm.
And many of us will be freelancers, gig workers, or you know, consultants, coaches. I guess many of us will be like that, or at least we should be able to articulate that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next one is, what do you think is the future relevance of engineering colleges in India?
They have to really, really change themselves. You know, I mean, in pandemic, Coursera sold so many courses to Indians. They went through colleges also. Okay, so colleges indirectly promoted their future competitor, actually. I know them. L&T started a degree program in particular domains. So there will be massive changes. I know engineering colleges, I work with them. They have to really change very, very fast. Very fast. Maybe 3 years' time, I guess. Okay. Colleges are going down. You know, many colleges are closing.
Right.
Only top ones will remain, will be relevant. It's really tough.
Okay. And finally, what do you think is the future relevance of resumes?
Anyway, I mean, resume is, I think it's such a simple device to communicate. I think it will remain like that. I think we would like to add things. Resume is too short, too simple to articulate or to communicate more. Already, we help students make a resume so that remotely they can show something. LinkedIn profile or any online social media profile of that relevance will be the next resume. I guess your face, your video appearance has become even more important. But resume in itself is such a simple and quick device that I think it will not go away from hiring. Because I know hiring managers do not want to see a long LinkedIn profile and a 1 minute video to quickly judge a person. So probably resume will remain like that. But we will need more devices along the hiring process.
All right. On that note, Harshad, I think this was fantastic. You know, these are the times where, you know, the so-called future of workplace is not somewhere in the future, but it is, you know, we are actually started living that future.
Yes.
So it was good to pick your brains and talk about job searching. You know, it's not just about, you know, building great companies and, you know, building a great culture. Sometimes you also need to start thinking about who are these people and what is the process that they need to follow to be, you know, joining these great companies. So this is a great conversation. I could pick up, you know, a lot of actionable things for myself, even though I'm not in the job market right now. But this was great. So I hope, you know, a lot of people who are listening to this conversation will get to empathize with people they're trying to hire and also think for themselves on what needs to be done. Any closing comments from you?
No, I mean, thanks for this. Actually, this is a perfect example how a casual interaction can really result, you know. So I also now have started thinking about many things. So your questions made me think deeper probably about many things. So even questions you sent yesterday, you know, made me really wonder, like, if I have the answer for it. So I think this is a perfect example how just, you know, 1 hour, I'm sure both of us sort of learned a lot, I guess, with each other.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Harshad. If you like this, we know you care about your and your team's future relevance. You can find us and Now click on the subscribe button on YouTube, Spotify, Google and Apple Podcasts. You can also find us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook and Instagram. There are two ways to enter the insider group of friends of CTQ. A Telegram channel where you'll get daily tidbits that help you think about future relevance, and our weekly email newsletter called The Upleveler. We've got some fabulous testimonials from our subscribers. We share special discount codes for CTQ compounds and exclusive invitations to our events on both these channels. Just go to choosetothink.com, that is think with a Q, and you'll find all the links to subscribe. You owe it to yourself.